Today's sermon passage is Luke 10, 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Martha has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Well, hello, Woodman.
Hello.
I'm sure that many of us are familiar with the words of the late philosopher Kenny Rogers. I don't think he was thinking about our passage when he sang the words, but they very much sum up what it is we will be studying this morning. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to... Amen. Now, in our case, the subject is not gambling, but rather, it's our service to the Lord. Simply put, some of us are trying to do too much, and we need to fold our hands, walk away from the table, and take some time to be with Jesus. Last week, we studied Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, and in it, Jesus encouraged us to make great sacrifices in our pursuit of loving our neighbors. But if you study that in isolation, we could understandably be led to think that what Jesus cares most about is our activity. That he wants us doing things like that all the time. Our Savior, however, he's not a brutal taskmaster. He's not trying to squeeze every bit of juice he can out of us. Now, true, he does want us to offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice, but he also desires our service to be offset with times of learning, times of refreshment in his presence, which is what brings us to the story of Martha and Mary. And this story is unique to the Gospel of Luke. Now, you don't find it in any of the others. And Luke places it immediately after the parable of the Good Samaritan, and I think very much intentionally. You and I are expected to serve 100%. But our service is never to overshadow or be equated as the sum total of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The passage before us should be incredibly life-giving for all of us. It's not simply an invitation to step away from what is urgent, but it's a God-given license to choose what matters most. And with the summer just around the corner, I believe this could come at the perfect time for some of us. If you would, allow me to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that a passage like this is very appropriate for a church like this. We don't really have a problem where we're trying to motivate people to get involved. On the contrary, sometimes some of us need to slow up and take a rest. Lord, I pray that your heart for us as people, your heart for us as sons and daughters will shine through this passage. Your concern for our well-being, would you give us ears to hear it? Now, would you help me not to make any mistakes and be glorified? We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. If we've not met, my name's Josh. I serve as the one of the pastors here. And before we jump in, just a quick note. Either on your way in or on your way out, you will have received or you will receive a handout regarding our ABLE initiative. And that is our three-year effort to fund our new downtown campus and to eliminate our church debt. And I mentioned it briefly a couple of weeks ago, and we wanted to provide you, our church family, with an update on where things stand. If you're visiting with us today, though, please know it's not directed at you. We are not after your money. We are simply grateful that you are with us, and we do hope to see you back. With that said, Luke chapter 10, our text begins with gracious service. Gracious service. We read in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now, I want to begin with a few assumptions, which is risky, but I'm going to assume that Martha and her soon-to-be-introduced sister Mary are the same Martha and Mary we read of in the Gospel of John. Same. That being the case, we're told in the Gospel of John that Martha and Mary lived in a village called Bethany. Bethany was a couple miles from Jerusalem. It sits on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. You'll notice Luke doesn't mention the name. Probably on purpose, because chronologically, if you just look at where Jesus is on his journey, there's a strong chance he's not made it that far south yet, which is our indication that Luke's taking a story that chronologically happened later, and he's putting it up in this section on discipleship. I believe he's doing it on purpose. Now, so far, in every respect, Martha here is the quintessential gracious host in New Testament Israel. She's doing exactly what it is Jesus told his disciples to look for when he sent them out. Remember, he sent out the 12, then he sent out the 72. What did he tell them to look for? Look for the host, look for the home, look for the hospitable people that will take you in. That's what Martha has done. She's opened her home and welcomed them in. Exactly what a woman in her culture would have been expected to do. But we need to realize that in their culture, I mean, this was a lot. She would have had to have made sure that there were bowls of water for them to wash their feet. And then because they got a little, you know, just kind of a little gross to think about washing your hands in some standing water, especially if you're guy number two or guy number seven, the way they wash their hands is that they would pour water, which meant that, you know, Martha had to make sure she had enough to be pouring water over every hand. And there's no refrigeration, and there's no microwaves. So stuff has had had to be made fresh. She's baking bread. She's getting the lamb, collecting the olives and the cheese. I don't know. And notice it says, they. Now, Jesus was not traveling alone. This was probably a sizable crowd. This was a big, big deal. It reminds me a little of the welcome my Grandma Lindstrom would give to Kimberly and I when we went over for a visit. You know, our purpose was going over to see her, and inevitably we would walk in and see her dining room table set up with two place settings. And it would be the nice china, and she would tell us to sit down, and Vanama, which is Estonian for grandmother, would essentially spend the entire time in the kitchen. And she would just come out and harp at us for not eating enough and then bring more food. I mean, there was so much food. And we never really saw her. Now, today, I mean, Kimberly and I will do fancy meals for people. But I'll tell you what, we eat them. we're sitting right there. And sometimes we don't even, like, do fancy. I mean, we'll order them pizza, high-end pizza. We got a spot called Domino's that we like. But in their honor-shame culture, Martha was expected to kick it a little more like Vanama. And here's the thing, rightly so. I mean, hospitality is a really big Christian virtue. The Apostle Paul calls for it. Romans 12, 12 to 13. I mean, he leads off with stuff that seem real Bible-like, you know, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. The Apostle Peter calls for it. And seems like he had a bit of a spice when he did 1 Peter 4:9, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Be hospitable. Interestingly, and maybe surprisingly, in both of his letters, in both of his lists, rather, of the characteristics of elders, the characteristics of leaders in the church, the Apostle Paul says one of the things elders have to be, they got to be hospitable. This is a huge value. Now, I realize that sometimes we tend to highlight the people up here, people who can sing, play instruments, talk, teach, and that's great that we honor people for serving. But hospitality is right up there too. We're grateful for our community group leaders, but we're also grateful for our community group hosts, those who open their home and make a place so that people can come, learn, and be together. All that to say, to those of you in our church who maybe are never on stage, but you are particularly hospitable, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your faithfulness to our Lord. Gracious service matters. And so does attentive listening. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Now, for a few reasons, though it doesn't say it, I think it's most likely that Mary is Martha's younger sister. Haven't seen birth certificate, no ID check. It doesn't tell us specifically, but I think that's a fair assumption. Now, I think for a lot of us in our cultural setting, we read that verse, and I think a lot of us are just like, that's just genuinely sweet. I mean, to be able to just sit at Jesus' feet in real time, look up and listen to him. It's beautiful. In their culture, however, it would have been like, you know, it would have been sweet, but there would have been a good measure of shock thrown in there too. You know, when Kimberly and I would go over to Vanama's house, we never expected a third place setting, but we would be happy if we saw one. But that's not how she rolled. And it was similar back here. As a woman, particularly as the younger sister of the host, we would have expected Mary to be helping Martha in the ministry of hospitality. But she's not. She's sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to him. And I think that's sweet. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever had the experience, maybe a group of you are watching a sunset, and it's all sort of quiet, and then someone just kind of speaks up, and it's just like, wow, that is incredible. Only to have another say, well, actually, all you're seeing is just sunlight interacting with particles in the atmosphere. And you're like, thanks, nerd. Right? Bit of a mood killer, right? I mean, it's like we're having this sweet moment. You just got to geek out. I don't want to do, I'm worried. I don't want to do the same thing with Mary's sweet moment. But I do know that we have a lot of people who are newer to the faith, right? And they hear us who are a little older in the faith. We talk about like our time with the Lord. We talk about our devotions. We talk about our quiet time. And sometimes those who are newer in the faith are like, what are those people talking about? Well, in all those instances, a lot of times we're talking about the very same thing. And what we're talking about is actually really similar to what we see Mary doing here. Now, there's three parts, but one of them's unspoken. The first is, and I just want to call it intentional proximity. I mean, you rarely, if ever, find yourself seated at someone's feet if it wasn't on purpose. Am I right? I mean, have you ever been in service, sitting next to someone's feet, and then thought, oh, this is weird. How did I end up here? Right? I mean, you just don't. And it's the same for Mary. I mean, she went in and she sat down at his feet. The second thing is she was listening to his teaching. That is, she was interested in what he was saying, right? She wasn't at this moment as concerned with bringing her thoughts to him, but rather was interested in what he had to say to her. And then this should go without saying, but just to make sure we know it, why was she doing this? Because it mattered. I mean, clearly, there were other things Mary could have been doing at the moment. There were other things her culture probably expected her to be doing. But she did some quick math in her head and was like, I'm going to get down there, sit, and listen. And all of us, whether you started following Jesus on Tuesday or whether you have been following him for 45 years, all of us need to do the very same thing Mary's doing here. And it needs to be intentional. And when I say that, I'm in no way communicating that, like, you know, if you're leaving the office and you're walking to your car and you offer up a brief prayer, I'm not saying that that doesn't count because you hadn't planned to do it. Not at all. But what I am saying is that there is something sweet about intentionally setting aside time and even go as far as to intentionally set aside a place. We cannot get ourselves at his feet, right? We're not seeing him the same anymore. He's living up in heaven. But we can, We can't get ourselves to a spot on purpose. And when there, we should do what she did. We should be wanting to listen to him. And what a gift we have is that we have his entire written word recorded for us. He gave us everything we need to know to live the life he's called us to live. So we need to read it. And as we read it, picture him speaking this over you. We need to come to this book legitimately desiring to know what it is he wants to say to us. And we need to believe that when we do this, that it matters, right? We need to recognize that there is no other place that we can go. There is no other substitute that could cut it. We need to trust that the world cannot give us what it is our Lord and Savior wants to say. And so we make it a priority. I wonder if you need to start doing that. I realize that a lot of people, and understandably so, kind of highlight the new year, you know, as a time to start a Bible reading plan, which would be a shame if at the end of June you're like, well, I'll do that in January. I mean, I think we can expedite that just a little bit. And when you think about it, for many of us, the summer's a good time. We got longer days. And for a lot of us, not all of us, but for a lot of us, there is sometimes less that we need to do. So it's a great time to think about how might I set aside an intentional time and place to be with him. In that time and place, what would it look like for me to begin systematically reading this book? You say, where do I start? Well, you could start anywhere. The whole thing's good. I've read it cover to cover. But you're like, I need a little more direction. In our app, our Woodman app, we got reading plans you could choose from. Have that be where you start. Maybe because we've been going through it on and off here, maybe you're like, I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 1, and I'm just going to start reading there. And then people say, well, how much am I supposed to read? It's not like a volume amount that we're going after, as much as it's a listening, hearing. Like any relationship, when you're in love, you want to talk. And if someone says to you, you get to talk for 17 minutes, it feels odd. So maybe it's a chapter, maybe it's a section. But when you get to it and you hear from him, you ask yourself, this is what the Apostle Paul did when he met Jesus for the first time. Like, who are you, Lord? Like, what is this teaching me about him? What am I hearing from him? And then because what I hear from him matters, then I got to ask that second question, what do you want me to do? How do I respond? You've said this, I am here. What comes next? Do you need to do some attentive listening? What we'd like to try and avoid is what comes next, a distracted heart. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Now, there are things in the Bible I would like to have seen. I think watching Moses stand before the Red Sea and it parting in front of him and the Israelites walking across as on dry land, that seems like it would have been pretty cool. I think watching young David like stroll out in front of Goliath would have been boss to see. And I think when the Holy Spirit descended upon the church as of tongues of fire, that sounds pretty dramatic. Would like to have seen all of that. But I would love to have seen Martha storm out of the kitchen, interrupt Jesus mid-preach, and give him a talking to. And you gotta know when she did, there was some dude who was like, right? This is really, that's moxie. Now, I grew up in the church. And I will say that I feel like we have unintentionally, or maybe intentionally, thrown Martha under the bus. So much so that even today, when I meet a Martha, I feel like I should just give her a hug. You know, just, I'm sorry. And the reason for that is, which one of us has not found ourselves feeling the very same way she did at some point? Remember when your precious little children were little? Maybe they are still. Maybe it was your nieces, your nephews. You're trying to do something. You're trying to get it done, and they just keep talking and talking and asking you questions and questions until finally your answer is, go away! Leave me alone! Oh, come on, I'm not the only one. If we are honest, each of us should feel a little sympathy for Martha right here. And if you look at what she said, I think we can all appreciate how she got there. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. You know, obviously I wasn't there and I don't know the lady, so I can't say this for sure. But my guess is before she ever brought this to Jesus' attention, she was having the same conversation with herself beforehand. You know, like maybe she's stuffing the little red things in the olives. And then the timer's going off to baste the lamb. And the bread sounds like it's about like to start burning. And she looks out there. And there's Mary. Just sitting at his feet. In my sweater. She's wearing my sweater. And the bread, and now she's running to get the bread, and she's pulling it out, and it is burned, and she's basing the, and she's like, she has to be so distracting to everybody in there because everybody's not listening to Jesus. They're all thinking about, why is she not helping me? They're smelling the bread burning. They all have to be so frustrated. You know what? I bet Jesus is getting so frustrated at Mary right now. It's got to be so tough for him to keep his attention. Why is Jesus not telling Mary to come in here? And then she loses it and she goes in. And notice, she says me or my three times in two sentences. How do we get here? I mean, Martha begins this story serving Jesus. But one verse later, she's overwhelmed. She's frustrated. She's irritated with everyone. And she's questioning Jesus. Why? Because she was distracted with much serving. Hospitality, or any area of service for that matter, is such a beautiful thing because it is one of the primary ways we can demonstrate our love for for others. Her problem, listen, Martha's problem is not that she's serving. The issue is what's happening in her heart as she does. Fact of the matter is she's overwhelmed. And she loses her temper a little. Which of us have never been there before? You know, it's part of the reason why I take a little break from the pulpit most summers. It's not that I don't love my job. I really do. I love teaching God's word. I can't imagine doing something else. But I will tell you, you know, Saturday at 6 p.m. comes pretty much every 7 days. And then when you throw in other stuff, if I don't slow down, Pastor Josh can get distracted, can get spicy, get a little sassy, sometimes with the ones he loves. And so I need to slow up. And I'm not looking for a show of hands, but I suspect the very same thing happened to some of you this past week at kids' camp. I bet you threw yourself into it. You spent yourself for the youngest in our church, and then come Thursday night when it was all over, some of you may have been a little more snippy than normal. Some of you perhaps got a little distracted because of your service. All of us who are in Christ, we are expected to serve. We are expected to contribute. We are expected to join him on his mission to seek and save the lost. But when our service starts to negatively impact those around us, when our service begins to negatively impact our own heart and relationship with the one we're serving, we should probably slow up and take a minute. I wonder how many of you listening to me right now need this gentle reminder. Verse 41. But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." First and foremost, notice that Jesus does not scold Martha. To say "Martha, Martha," in their world, that was a very tender way to address her. It's a very disarming way to respond. And maybe just as important, notice Jesus does not condemn her. Right? Notice Jesus doesn't tell her, "Well, that's your problem. You should have been in here listening to me too." He doesn't say that. What does he say? He acknowledges the impact her serving, which was a good thing, he acknowledges the impact it was having on her heart. And in this case, she was getting a little short-tempered. "You are anxious and troubled about many things." And then he just gives that gentle reminder, "But one thing is necessary." And what's that? Or more accurately, who's that? It's him. Mary had chosen Jesus that day, and he was not going to take him away from her. But Martha needed to remember that he was right there too. She needed to remember why she was serving in the first place. I have a good friend. I mean, I have more than one good friend, but this is just a story about a particular individual. And I've made fun of him to his face for this, so I feel totally comfortable telling all of you. But we went to his house for dinner one time, and he was grilling. And so like a guy, I just stood beside the grill as he did that. And he kind of finished up the meat, and he handed me this plate, and he said, "Would you, you know, take that inside?" And I said, "Sure." And so I grab it, and I open the sliding door, and I kind of wait. And he's like, "Well, I'll be there in a moment." And then his wife shows up, and she grabs the plate from me, and she says, come with me. And so I follow the lady, and she says, "Everybody sit down." And she asks one of her kids to start praying. And I'm like, "Are we not going to wait for fill in the blank his name?" And she says, "He always does this when we grill. He likes to clean the grill before he comes in." And I don't mean like, I mean dismantle, degreaser, hose, like capital C, clean. He literally missed the entire meal. Isn't it ironic that his service is what kept him from the very ones he was trying to serve? And we can do the same with Jesus. Martha did just that. You know, as an aside, and you know, I mean, I physically will step away from the table-like pulpit because this isn't in the Bible, so I just want to be clear. But I imagine, I suspect that this could have played out differently. Martha could have been in the kitchen trying to get the stupid red things in the olives. Timer going off for the meat, bread smelling like it's going to burn. And she could have looked outside, down the hallway, and seen her little sister in her sweater sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha could have been like, "That is so cool. Oh, my little sister. Forget, no one likes olives. Who cares about these? I'm going to get the bread." She could have hobbled something together, done her best, and serve the meal. And if she had, because I know him, I suspect Jesus would have come up to Martha afterwards. He said, "I saw what you did there. That was super gracious of you letting Mary sit there and listen. Thank you for that. Next time, well, probably won't be as good. Let's have Martha in the kitchen, Mary in the kitchen. Because Martha, I want to spend time with you too." Look, we are called to serve. But when that service leads us to forget the one we are ultimately serving, we need to slow up. And we need to get with him. Which is why I think the words of our philosopher are so timely. You've got to know when to hold them, but more importantly, know when to fold them. And when your service is stifling your soul, you need to walk away for a bit. You might even have to run. And before we close, do not miss the gospel in all of this. right? Jesus didn't love Mary more because she was quietly sitting there with him. And Jesus wasn't frustrated with Martha because she wasn't. The point is, neither sister was earning anything from Jesus. Jesus died for all of us when we were yet still sinners. Before we had done any one act of service, he gave his life to give us new life, to reconcile us to the God who made us. Each one of us is welcomed by grace through faith in him. And our service overflows from that relationship. So when our service is hampering our reason for doing it, that is our key, that is our clue. I gotta get with Jesus. And maybe you need to get with him for the first time to confess that he is Lord, to believe that God raised him from the dead for the forgiveness of your sins. Even if you've been walking with Jesus for 45 years, sometimes we need the reminder that he is Lord. God raised him from the grave, and I gotta be with him. What if this summer you started every day with the good portion? I know some of you have got a steady, quiet time. I'm not suggesting you don't, but what if each one of us set the alarm 30 minutes earlier this summer and just sat at his feet and listened? I think you would be surprised by spending that extra time with him. You will sometimes find you have more time than you thought and a better attitude than you did. Amen? Let me pray. Our God and Father, I thank you for the many, 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 many servants in our church. Those who do things in the walls of our church, those who are doing things outside the walls of our church, and in some cases, around the earth. Father, you delight in us using our gifts, but you know the temptation in our hearts to do things in our own strength, try to power through and get it done. And inevitably, we are worse off for it. Father, would you allow us to choose what matters most? And that's you. God, we will have seasons of craziness for sure. Offset them, Father, with times with you. Be the center of our lives. Be the foundation of our lives. And may your spirit be the power that gives life and strength to all that we would seek to do. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.